But we do believe that there can be a mechanism whereby individuals over an extended period of time can come to own their homes from the outset. The intention from the outset would be that you and maybe another family member would be able to own your own home eventually. And you can have mortgages and legal documents made in such a way that, yes, you continue to pay rent. You have an extended period of time, maybe with you and children, over a period of time where you can spend that money and where you can own the home. It can be done, in our view.
All right. Thank you very much, Ms. Eastman. Brother Adley, you want to respond to that query?
Housing, of course, in Barbados, a major challenge. We have raised a population here, in most instances, times of prosperity. They have therefore developed certain aspirations, and it is not good that those aspirations are frustrated, especially when it comes to things like owning your own house, your land, property, etc. I believe the Barbados Labour Party believes there's always an aspect, a dimension, component of the housing market in terms of the demand that must be supplied by or responded to by the private sector, of course. And of course, even in those instances, the government must do what it can to facilitate those kind of contractual arrangements that would see people who can afford it in the private sector related context come into ownership of property, land and housing. But of course, middle income, lower income housing must be a major focus for any government that is interested in serving its people well. We have had, under the last Barbados Labour Party administration, a transfer of title with respect to urban lands, tenantry lands, which we believe serve the interests of the urban community of Barbados very well. There's a lot of evidence out there to see and to suggest that that program was very worthwhile because the character, the almost one would say the landscape of urban Barbados has been changed as a result of that program. People coming into ownership of lands that originally tenanted and are able to build properly on those lands, etc. That program has all just about virtually been curtailed under the current administration, and we expect that we will resume the urban tenantries land subsidy program. Overcrowding is a big issue in government estates, especially the older ones, the traditional ones. And we've got now 2 and 3 and 4 generations living under the same roof. That was not the intention, I believe, at the outset. And therefore, that matter of overcrowding must be addressed because it brings its own problems in its wake. And the Barbados Labour Party is taking a position that we will make lands available to persons who are living in such situations that would help us to address that problem of overcrowding. We will provide the lands, we will provide the designs, and we will engage community builders. These are builders at the lower level, as opposed to those who are getting the contracts now to build the massive developments at high costs for the higher level quality housing. But community builders who will enter into contractual arrangements and be involved in the process of providing that type of housing on government land, on lands conferred by government to the owners for development of those purposes. We have a problem in Barbados, and perhaps it's part of the outflow of the whole recessionary experience that we've gone through. Mortgages, and up to yesterday, this morning, I heard of another one yesterday, I heard of two. People who are facing challenges of potential foreclosure on their properties. And the Barbados Labour Party is committed to work with the banks to find an arrangement for some kind of mechanism to ward off with what seems to be a serious threat to house ownership in Barbados. And you're bringing people from a position of economic empowerment back to a level of poverty when they lose their properties in that kind of a context. So we're looking at that. We will also, beyond relief programs targeting troubled mortgages, we will work with the banks to address that matter of foreclosure. The urban renewal and upgrade program was significant. Sanka, just give me a second, because this is another thing I seriously lament. I represented St. Michael West, and I knew when this government was able to engage the interests of the IADB in providing funding for urban upgrade in St. Michael, the city, Greenfields, Cat's Castle, Gardenland, and Allen View. And it still bewilders me as to why a responsible government under this administration would have allowed a program like that to fall into abeyance and lose most of the funding. And that program would have provided significantly for help with sewage systems, upgrading of housing, repairs, lighting, all kind of, to really upgrade these communities. You know what Greenfields and Cass Castle is like, and what these people have been subject to for many years. And yet we allow something like that. Well, the Barbers-led party will revisit that, of course. Mm-hmm. We will also be looking at concessional financing for weather resilience in terms of building.
All right, thank you. We'll take a commercial break, and when we come back, we'll focus on sanitation services.
Soca Kingdom.
Barbados, get ready.
Soca Kingdom.
As we take Soca to another level.
Soca Kingdom.
With Soca Royalty.
Soca Network, in association with Crop Over City, presents
Soca Ignition.
Ready.
Saturday, June 2nd, be in the Soca Kingdom at Bagatelle Great House from 9 p.m. and rev it up with Soca Royalty. From Trinidad and Tobago, three-time international Soca Monarch, Voice.
From your wake up this morning.
Four-time Chutney Soca Monarch, Ravi B. The Soca King of New York, Lyrical.
If like it, I could dance tonight.
The best of Beige and Soca Royalty.
Oh yes, the water rock.
Early bird tickets are now available at $60 general and $250 VIP. From Lucky Horseshoe, Bridgetown, Lawrence, Worthing, and Bagatelle. CS Pharmacy, Bridgetown. A&B Music Supply, Sheraton. Smart Store, Lime Grove. Eddie Supermarket, Spikestown. Little Munchkin, Sky Mall. And Starcom Network on River Road. Soca Ignition! Saturday, June 2nd at the Soca Kingdom, Bagatelle Great House. We're revving up with Soca Royalty, so get your tickets now! Soca Ignition is powered by Jewel's Whiskey, True Scotch, Heineken, Infinity on the Beach Hotel, KFC, Mount Gay Rum, Remy Martin 1738, and Hot 95.3 FM.
You see the party there? The party lit!
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year.
1 year.
One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Groceries, utility bills, landline and mobile telephone services, fuel, internet services, education opportunities, health and fitness services, and many more. Here's how to enter. Spend $40 or more in fuel at any SO service station. $25 or more at any branch of KFC. $25 or more at the Lorry Dash Craft Shop. $50 or more at Accents and Decor. Or $50 or over at LED Illuminations. Every time, write your name and contact information on the back of the receipt or entry form and drop it in the box provided at any of our participating sponsors. Sweet life in VOB country. 1 year of easy living for one lucky VOB listener.
Welcome back to the People's Parliament. We're here with Lynette Eastman of the United Progressive Party, Bishop Joseph Adley from the Barbados Labour Party, and Mr. Daniel Shalbo from the Solutions Barbados, and we're looking at Wither, the social services. We had this call for nearly an hour, so we'll take that call, and after this call, we'll go straight and look at the sanitation services. Good morning, sir, or madam,
yeah,
you're in the air.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning, sir.
I want to say a very pleasant good morning to both you and the entire representatives from the various parties, and a very special good morning to Bishop Adderley. I want to speak on the issue of disability. Right now, one of the candidates, Lynette Eastman, is she mentioned a word which is to me I would endorse it very highly, the word attitude. Now, today people would see persons with disabilities, right? And the first thing that they would see is the disability, and then the person afterwards. I think that the attitudes of persons, a program must be put in place to deal with the attitudes of the average able-bodied person, because they'd never see your ability. So that is why when I refer to myself, I have a disability, and I always refer to myself as a person with a disability or persons with disability. I project the person first, and then afterwards, the disability. Many persons see the disability first, and then the person afterwards. So I think that we need an attitudinal change. Let me go further to say that over the years, persons with disabilities have been affected vastly throughout this country in every facet of life. You name it, health, education, sports, whatever, right? And we saw it fit that because of certain things that were happening, we came together and we put up a big document on the rights of persons with disabilities. I can't remember the exact date, but this document was still tabled in Parliament as the green paper. And then in 2002, this green paper became white. So then it was then the white paper on persons with disabilities, the rights of persons with disabilities. Subsequently, in 2013, this document, which is called, then they had this document being ratified. So in that document, you have every area that would affect the lives of persons with disabilities. Until the attitudes of persons are changed, I think that certain things will not happen.
Now, sir, what's your question, sir? What's your question?
My question is, we need to look seriously at when will legislation be put in place to deal with these issues? Because like the young lady who called earlier, when persons with disabilities are, before they have the disability, they are working comfortably in their jobs. And when the disability comes, the first thing that the service does with you is to make you become medically boarded. So they no longer see your worth, your value, how you can continue to make a contribution to society and things of that nature. And many people are staying home. I have done some research over the years and in other Caribbean countries and realized that there were persons like policemen who were shot on the job and then they want to send them home, medically boarded. Still living, still can make a contribution, not in the way that they would normally make it, but because of organizations for persons with disabilities were put in place and they're, you know, they lobbied on these persons' behalf. These persons were then retrained. So that is one of the areas that we have to look at, retraining.
So what do you want to suggest to the parties? You need to ask a question because we have a lot of other calls.
Okay.
And we have other areas.
I want
covered.
To know when we will have legislation put in place to deal with the ratification of the rights of persons with disability.
Thank you very much, sir. I see, Ms. Eastman, you want to start? Yes, you're looking at me.
No, I was looking at you because you're the moderator. But I certainly, the caller spoke about specific a green paper and a white paper that had been submitted to Parliament. I must say that I'm not aware of those. If legislation was to come out of that, you can always revisit them and seek to put legislation in place. Now, I would have to go back to think whether the legislation does not already cover such situations, because you are under our constitution, you're not to discriminate against anybody for any reason. It is that broad. Under our legislation, if you are terminated, you do have the right to question the reason for the termination. If you can still do your job, even though you have some disability, and all of us have disabilities of one kind or another, the issue is going to be whether you can still do your job. So if you can do your job and you're being dismissed for that purpose, I believe that you could still bring a claim for wrongful dismissal. You could certainly go to the Labor Department and raise the issue. Now, there is also to look at it from the perspective of the employer. The employer might have to change, you know, their place of work in order to accommodate that person. I don't know if the caller situation was like that, but that is another issue that would arise in looking to see whether the person is entitled to reinstatement, whether or not the employer would have to incur significant expenses in order to take the position of the now disabled person into account. So these are issues that we would have to look at very, very carefully. I would like to think, because the legislation, the employment legislation, is relatively new and really should be broad enough to cover all of those issues already.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chabot, from the Solutions Barbados.
Yes, and I do agree with Ms. Eastman with the word attitude. I believe that we should hire attitude over experience any day. And I just wanted to, because I am a builder, and I look at things in terms of drawings and so on. And I look at this as any system that is created has a blueprint. It's the original design of a system. So, you know, and nothing is perfect, and there are always flaws in anything that is produced. The main thing here is to look at that blueprint and see where it can be improved, for whatever it is, whichever public service department you think about. It can be improved by looking at the blueprint. We look at it, we send out the design so it is publicly viewed, so that, you know, other designers could look at it. In this case, it would be the case of the disability, and whether or not, you know, you should continue to work. And I do believe that you should, because disability, it's not inability. It is just a condition, and you can move forward in life with it. Actually, there are Olympics for the disabled as well. So I think that you can far go beyond whatever you have ever done before, even with a disability. So we will create a system whereby it is a constant improvement on everything. And this is the position of Solutions Barbados.
All right, thank you. We have to move on. And we want to look now at sanitation services. Actually, I have here someone saying that they would like the Sanitation Service Authority to send for have a collection being done in Sandy Hill, because their garbage has not been collected in the last 2 weeks. But the question I'm looking at here in terms of sanitation is that you would know over the last 5 years or so, we've been having a problem across Barbados with collection of domestic garbage, because of a lack of trucks and because of mechanical problems with the trucks, spare parts, whatever. There's been a lot of talk about it. I want the parties to tell Barbadians if they think we have reached the point where the average Barbadian should be paying for garbage collection services to ensure greater efficiency. Okay? We want to start with Mr. Chabot?
Yes, of course.
Solutions Barbados.
Yes. So my job requires me to drive a lot. I drive throughout the island a lot. And I see a lot of garbage put out, and I sometimes pass by 2 days later, 3 days later, a week later, and the garbage is still there. I also see in communities that even a year ago, people have put out old appliances, they put out a fridge outside their houses, and also in key and pieces. And then all of a sudden, you know, you go drive past 2 weeks later, and then you have TVs mounted on that and so on. So I believe that these are not being picked up because the residents are meant to pay for these, but obviously, I'm saying paying for the disposal of these. And, you know, what is the case here? I mean, these appliances are still laying out there. And
we're not just talking appliances. We're also, because that's a bulk service.
Domestic garbage.
That's provided by the Sanitation Service Authority. But what we're talking about is domestic garbage, you know, just like you put in a plastic bag and you put out. That's the primary thing.
Okay, so
have we reached that point? Because none of these social services are free. We've established that. Somebody has to pay to provide this service.
Correct.
That somebody is the government. The government has to get that money through taxes.
Correct.
So have we reached that point? That's what the focus is.
Well, have we reached that point? I mean, I'm talking about the garbage trucks. I mean, there's not even enough garbage trucks to pick up the domestic garbage. Most of these trucks are down. And then you have possibly two large mechanic shops tendering to repair these trucks. So therefore, we have to allow for more mechanic shops, like smaller entities to, you know, to tender, to even do one at a time, and then maintain it for the next 6 months, so we can get them back on the road, because I believe that is the case. The case is a lack of trucks to go pick up the garbage.
But given the cost involved, because spare parts are expensive and what have you, should Barbadians be paying for their garbage? Yes or no?
I don't think Barbadians should be paying for their garbage. Absolutely not. I do believe that the government should provide the service, and a well-managed service will enable this to happen.
Okay. Ms. Eastman, UPP, have we reached that point where this paying for this service is something that we can look at?
Barbadians have been always paying for the collection of their garbage. There isn't anything new about that. In fact, there are people who would tell you that one of the reasons that you pay land tax is for the collection of garbage. Otherwise, why would you be paying it? It's not a rent. So Barbadians do pay for the collection of their garbage. The problem is that we simply, over the past few years, have not been earning enough income to support our social services. And we haven't been doing that because our policies, the policies of the government in terms of earning income, have been ineffective. That is the reason for it. There's no other reason. We have had a decline in a number of the critical sectors in Barbados, and therefore we are not in a position to pay for many of the social services. But Barbadians do pay for their garbage collection.
All right, thank you, Ms. Eastman. Bishop Atherley?
Well, I agree with Lynette on that. Barbados is a high tax place. Yeah, I mean, we are paying taxes through our ears now, and I heard someone just a couple of days alluding to the fact that the only thing we're not now being taxed on was a certain matter, and perhaps would not be appropriate for me to get into that here. But I agree with Ms. Eastman. It's a question, and I said it earlier before she arrived, it's a question of the malaise and the wreckage made of the economy that renders us unable now to provide the social services that we should be providing to our people. I think we got several problems when it comes to dealing with our garbage, disposal of garbage. We have to create a culture of separation. That is done elsewhere. Barbados Labour Party is promising its manifesto to address that issue of separation of the elements of the garbage. Then there's the problem of collection, of course, and that we can't do it without trucks. And I heard that there was money available to buy trucks. I might be wrong. I'm sure I heard that. And I do not know where that money has gone, but we certainly don't see any new trucks. And in fact, we hardly see any of the old trucks with any frequency. So there's a problem of collection. And then disposal, the recycling issue, I believe, is something that we've got to get a better handle on in Barbados. You get a sense that there's a little bit of ad hocism in what has happened with respect to recycling policy on garbage in Barbados. And these are the things that we would hope to address.
As I speak with you, thank you very much, Bishop Atherley. As I speak with you, someone is saying, we have a problem in King Garden Heights in St. Thomas. For 3 weeks not getting our garbage collect, we are paying taxes like everyone else. And with sanitation, is it possible for the average Barbadian who pays for garbage by taxes, can we not drop off our garbage to the sanitation depot? And there are a few other comments here on that. But we'll go continue on our WhatsApp, and we'll ask this next question here. What is the policy of your party as it relates to the transport board? Personally, I think it should be privatized and subsidized for senior citizens. Do I need to repeat this question? What is the policy of your party as it relates to the transport board? I personally think it should be privatized and subsidized for senior citizens. Solutions Barbados.
Yeah, so our policy on the transport board, well, right now I believe we have about 304 buses and only 60 of those are running. Before we even consider to privatize, which is something that I agree with, we would want to, as I said before in the program, to stop the bleeding first. And I never repeat, you know, I drive around the island very much and I pick up people. It's actually part of my campaign. I pick up people at bus stops and they tell me that they've been here for 2-3 hours in the country, and I take them to town and so on. So, I mean, I'm hearing from the residents firsthand what is going on. So, and basically by stopping bleeding, what I'm saying is that, you know, as I said with the sanitation trucks before, we have two large mechanic shops that are fixing the buses. So they get about 50 buses at a time. I'm saying that we should get the smaller entities to tender to fix the buses. Therefore, they get one bus and they would maintain that 6 months after. After that, they can tender for another bus. But I'm just saying, so we could spread the business to other entities as well, so not just two large ones are getting it. After that, and we have most of the buses running again, and then people are waiting for a bus maybe 45 minutes, so we can improve. We'll go from 2 hours to 1 hour, then from 1 hour to 45 minutes. That's great. And after that, once we have a well-running system on the buses that we already have, then we could look to privatize. And we could regulate it. We could regulate it so that senior citizens get to travel for free on the privatized buses. We reserve the existing buses for school children and charter.
Okay. Bishop Atherley?
Well, I don't know that I've heard my party advocate in any way that we should go to all-out privatization with respect to public transport in Barbados. I know that there's a view that there's certain elements involving the whole business of public transport that can be privatized. We've got examples of that already in UCAL, et cetera. The issue I think that needs to be dealt with is the matter of the availability of vehicles to transport the moving public. That has implications for productivity, has implications for a sense of well-being on the job, has implications for family life, all kinds of stuff. Now, we believe that we have to have an improved regulatory framework around transportation in Barbados. There is much to be done in terms of addressing that. We believe that there is also greater scope for partnerships in the business of providing public transportation in Barbados. I believe, personally, this is not a party position, I personally believe that we need to create the kind of situation that will see a major element of cooperativism in public transport in Barbados. We've got perhaps one or two examples with respect to the taxi, private taxi services, but public transport at the omnibus level, so to speak, we need to have cooperative initiatives there And government needs to create the kind of facility that will allow for financing of that, that will provide incentives to encourage that. I believe those guys need to be encouraged to get larger vehicles. We've got too many small...
So you're thinking here now in terms of what Mr. Morris Lee has been talking about for several years now, about duty-free access to parts and duty-free access to new buses, because his argument is that for the last 20, 30 years, most of the buses that, mini buses on the road are 20, 30 years old, and that the only way that you're going to improve the quality of the service that you can provide to the public is if they have the duty-free access.
So, I think there should be some of that, but in a context where you make the move towards that cooperative kind of situation around the ownership and operation of public transport. Take out of the system a lot of these smaller buses, allow these guys to own larger buses, address issues like scheduling and so forth, and let the government deal with providing the social service aspects of public transport, the elderly, the pensioners, the school children, etc. I believe this is the way to go. I don't believe that we should be talking about all out privatization. And neither do I believe that we should be afraid of some aspects of privatization. We've got to improve this, as productivity will continue to suffer.
It is a pity that no one is here from the Democratic Labour Party, because certainly, based on what you're saying, Bishop Atherley, there are certain aspects of this that have already started. They have not, as you said, it seems a little ad hoc the way how it's gone about, but that's being, it looks to me. Lynette Eastman.
Well,
privatization
as I said in my initial comments, I think at this point in time, Barbados is ready for a reset. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to look at transportation, I think we have to start to look at the purpose of our transportation system. We in Barbados, we have failed to do a number of things in a strategic fashion. We tend to put plasters on sores, and you know, the time has come, I think, where we have to look at every single issue in a more strategic fashion, and the question has to be asked, what is the purpose of a future transportation system in Barbados? What would it look like? And when we determine what it would look like, then we can implement an action plan for it. Barbados is a small country. Going back to the garbage situation, the fact that we have so many cars on the road, the fact that now the legislation seems to be leveraged against people keeping their old cars, it seems as though people want Barbadians to get rid of the old cars that they have and buy new ones. And of course, the old ones go into the landfill. So those are issues that we have. And individuals feel that they must go to car ownership because the public transportation system is inadequate. In other countries, you can live in a country without ever contemplating buying a car. Should we not wish to reach that position in Barbados? Well, if we want to reach that position, we can't just start by simply saying, should we privatize or not? That isn't the issue. The issue is the type of transportation system that we would like to have. And essentially, we would like all Barbadians to have access to a public transportation system that is of the quality that they feel comfortable in never owning a private vehicle. You can do that in other countries. I think you could do that here too. And Barbados is smaller than many of those other countries. So I think we have to think that way. The other thing has to do with the facilities surrounding our public transportation system. The question that I often put to people is, if I had an international business client come into Barbados and they wanted to use the van stand, should I advise them to use the van stand? Most Barbadians would tell me no. But somehow, most Barbadians seem to believe it is okay for Barbadians to be using the facilities that we have now for our public transportation. So, as I said, we need a reset. You know, the principles that I outlined before had to do with dignity. Are we really thinking about our people in a serious fashion when we believe that they should be subjected to some of the facilities that we have in Barbados? So for me, the issue isn't private or not. Right now, we have a mixed system. It is possible that it will evolve to be more private, or it might become more public, whatever is suitable. But I think that the key issue in all of that has to do with how the public transportation is going to be regulated and how it is going to be managed. And at the moment, unfortunately, I believe this is an open secret. At the moment, there's far too much corruption in the public system. And it is only with strong, effective regulation that we're going to be able to get that out. And that is the only way that the system is going to actually function properly in the way that we would like it to function. There are many Barbadians who would like to be able to get on to public transportation and be able to attend, if they have 5 appointments in one day, that they should be able to attend those 5 appointments and get to each one on time using public transportation. So I think that certainly in the United Progressive Party, that is where we are going to start from in implementing a policy, examining what we have, and moving Barbados towards that point where every single Barbadian would be comfortable taking public transportation.
All right, thank you, Ms. Eastman. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year. 1 year. One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Thanks to Esso, energy lives here. Flow, always connected, always faster. KFC, finger licking good. Laurie Dash Craft Shop, the original craft shop on Bay Street for quality products and the best prices. Accents and decor, your space, your style, and LED illuminations, a brighter, greener future. Sweet life in VOB country.
When their journey on this earth ends, the memories begin in your heart. Honor your loved ones through eulogies, reflections, and tributes in the family notices of Nation Classifieds. Tributes sent by Tuesday will be featured in the following Sunday's newspaper. Contact the team at Nation Classifieds Fontebel at 430-5524 or Nation Classifieds Sheraton Mall at 467-2861. You can also see the Nation newspaper for more details.
VOB 92.9 FM wants you to enjoy the sweet life for 1 year. 1 year. One lucky VOB listener will win a year of easy living. Groceries, utility bills, landline and mobile telephone services, fuel, internet services, education opportunities, health and fitness services, and many more. Here's how to enter. Spend $40 or more in fuel at any Esso service station. $25 or more at any branch of KFC. $25 or more at the Laurie Dash Craft Shop. $50 or more at Accents and Decor. Or $50 or over at LED Illuminations. Every time, write your name and contact information on the back of the receipt or entry form and drop it in the box provided at any of our participating sponsors. Sweet life in VOB country. 1 year of easy living for one lucky VOB listener.
Welcome back. We break it in the next 10 minutes, so what we got to do is take some calls right now. You're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Price.
Good morning, Mark. Going rest
good morning. I was wondering for a while, you know, that you were looking away from what it would consider to be that. I was standing for almost 2 hours, and your eyes did not caught mine. So that's why we're standing. So let me see if I can get back some of my time, all right? let me say this. I agree with Ms. Eastman, and I agree with Brother Attlee.
This is on public transport?
No. I agree in total with what they have said in the opening, because you're broken up into so many sections of social services, that what Ms. Eastman and Brother Afi said earlier, that there's too much fragmentation with social services as regards of the various ministries that have to at least advocate social services. So you have a situation I'm listening to this morning, and I'm hearing all types of things in relation to what I can, because I consider social services to be responsibility of the state. In a way, the same way that you can vote for X amount of money for tourism, I believe that social services should have a bigger budget. I believe that social services are extremely important to the welfare and the running of a country. So if you're going to vote to bring people into a country, spend several millions of dollars to bring people into a country, and then your country falls down, then obviously your social services spending is not what it should be. So I'm going to equate now what I've just said in relation to that. So to Brother Ackley and also Ms. Eastman, I do agree with you that the problem we have with social services in Barbados is that there are too many ministries that advocate social services, and as a result of this, it becomes very partisan. And because it comes very partisan, then people suffer as a result. Let me show you what I mean. Take, for example, on the health. I don't know if the members of the panel realize that on the health social services at the hospital only work in certain areas. The elderly people at the hospital who are in need of spectacles, who go to the ophthalmologist department, who have to get spectacles, cannot be supported by the social services. They have to get the glasses outside of that, which is not fair. Let me show you under the judicial jurisdiction of Barbados. You have a lot of houses in Barbados that somewhere along the line are running to ruin. Why are they running to ruin? Because there are some disputes, and this will go for Ms. Eastman as well. There's some disputes within the family in terms of legal fees in order to get the will probate. I am saying that the same way you can take money to support some person who stole a cell phone or some person who stole a clock, then obviously the more important is to stop some of these vagrants who are on the street because they have lost their properties because they could not afford to find the money to pay an attorney for them to get back. So on the social services, I believe we have allowed the main ingredients of social services to put us in this position. And it has put us in this position because we have studied other things other than the needs of the people. Let me go on further to state. Take, for example, as far as social services are concerned. You have social services. You have a Ministry of Education. The Ministry of Education should be given a budget to advocate education. So when you come to the area of transformation, the area of transformation is also given a budget, but that should be within the area of social services. And I am annoyed to think that in this day and age that we are sitting down, going into an election, and we're sitting down not understanding. You are begging people to support you, but your social services needs are not up to standard. Take, for example, the barrels. Yeah, the government contributes to the barrels. The government contributes X amount of money to the grant of a court. But there and then, when you really stand and study it, this is what the person might have contributed in the period of paying the national insurance. So it isn't that you're contributing, you're giving back something of what that person have contributed.
Your question, Mark, your question is...
The question is, any one of the members there, including Brother Athlete, under your government, will you attempt to ask the Minister of Finance or the Prime Minister of your party if they will bring social services under one head, and that somewhere along the line that the vote in Parliament, the same way you're going to vote for X amount of money in tourism, you have to vote for X amount of money in social services so that it will work. Otherwise, we are spinning top in mud.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, I have some of the statistics here for the social services, the expenditure, and health is $245 million. Or $245.5 million. Education is $280 million. The Ministry of Housing has a budget of $102 million. Social care has $72 million, and transport and works $91 million. And our total expenditure, budgeted expenditure, is $4.5 billion. Barbados, I do not think, has ever been a country that has not spent money in the social services, especially education and healthcare. That has been the policy of governments consistently. I think what has happened is that we have set up policies and systems for a Barbados which no longer exists. So while there is money allocated to education and healthcare, the money is being focused in the wrong direction. I remember very clearly when this government first came into office, there was a very clear statement about education reform, and that did not happen. So the education system that we have currently does not support a new Barbados. A new Barbados where you expect more people, well, you're advocating that more people should be entrepreneurial. We want to focus on innovation. We want to ensure that people create intellectual property, which is where the value is internationally now, in the intellectual property, getting people to create that. We may not be able to manufacture, but we can create and we can design. So the problem is that the what we're putting the money into, we're not getting the results. So when you hear people talking about cutting what is called entitlements, it is because people feel that they're not getting a return. If we were producing somebody like Mark Zuckerberg every year, nobody would be talking about cutting education. The problem is that Barbadians believe that they're not getting the return. The leaders who say these things believe that we're not getting a return, and they don't have the vision to create a society to ensure that we get a return on the education, because there's a clear link between the appropriate problem-solving type education and a strong economy.
Thank you very, very much. Bishop Adley, we have to take a break at in another 90 seconds. So
I can do that. I said about a year ago that we are in Barbados wisely investing in education, but we're not investing in education wisely. And the man told me I was talking foolishness. He didn't understand what I was saying. I'm saying exactly what Lynette is saying. Mm-hmm. We're spending the money, but we're not spending it perhaps where it could best serve our interests. I think a part of the problem we face is the bureaucracy around the social services as well, and it comes back to the question of attitude as well. We got to change those things.
Great.